Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
This hour of the programme, we're continuing our coverage of the build-up to this year's House of Keys general election by speaking to another of the candidates who intend to stand. We're joined now by 38-year-old, I do apologise about this, it should say Louise Whitelake, brackets, 38, who'll be contesting the newly merged two-seat constituency of Ayr and Michael. And a good afternoon, Louise. Welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Bob. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much. For a start, come on, why should the constituents of Ayr and Michael vote for Louise?
Well, I know that there's a lot of disillusionment out there with politics at the moment. I know that because that's why I'm standing. There was no one there representing me. There was no one there with my voice, my views. And I was sat on the sofa and I'm looking at the situation and I'm thinking, I've got to stand. I must stand. And I know that there's people, I've talked to many people in the constituency, and I know that there's many people that are disillusioned and share my views. And I want to represent them. I want to be their voice. I want to be their mouthpiece.
Because at present, I think you're the only lady that's up for the choice for people for Ayr and Michael.
Yes, I am, yes.
OK. Was it a light bulb moment to stand? Or, you know, or is this a thing you've been thinking over years?
To be honest, it's something that I've always aspired to do, maybe in another 5 years, maybe in another 10 years. However, when I looked at the situation we have on the island with the politics and the way things are going and the things that have happened in the last 5 years, when I looked at the situation across with Brexit and the turmoil, and when I looked at who was stepping down and how the old guard was stepping down, I really felt that this was an opportunity for change. There is an opportunity for change, and I felt it was a golden opportunity to make that difference, to be that change. It took me a good 2 months to think, can I do this? Should I do this? Will I do this? And the answer was, yes, I will.
Prepared then probably to what? Put your life on hold for 5 years?
Absolutely, absolutely. It needs dedicated focus. It needs a team of people in there that are committed to the best interests of the island, putting aside all self-interests, because once you're elected, it's not just a 9-while-5 job. On a Tuesday, maybe, it's full-time job plus if you want to do it properly. If you need to, you need to read all the information. You need to make sure you've got your facts absolutely correct. When you're having a debate in Tynwald, you must be in full command of the knowledge and the information, and you must be strong, and you must also know what the general public, what the people you represent want and feel on the issues that are raised.
You mentioned Brexit. Were you a supporter of Brexit, or were you a Remain?
Yes, I was. No, I was a supporter of Brexit, which flies in the face of a lot of my friends, and I did get a lot of stick for that, because I think my generation is vastly affected by the things that the EU do and doesn't particularly have the historical knowledge of where the EU came from, why we joined up in the first place. I mean, the EU never wanted the Channel Islands. They never wanted the rest of the UK. They just wanted the UK. They just wanted the UK for the finance. We were always just an afterthought after that. And of course, I do have a slightly different take on things because I work for one of the critical industries on the island, in the food industry. I work for the bakery. So I see directly how much influence the EU has had on us, on our industry, on our island, because it limits, it allows imports of food that we can quite easily produce on the island. It allows those imports to come into the island under the competition regulations that we have. We should be able to protect ourselves. We should be able to protect the island. We should be able to protect our industries. But at the moment, our hands are tied in a very much distant sense by people pushing paper in Brussels and thinking that it would be a good idea at the time. It doesn't work for us. It doesn't work at all. I'd like to see a dedicated minister for external affairs and to somebody who could dedicate themselves to dealing with the Brexit issue and all the things that will arise. There's going to be challenges. It's probably going to be horrible for the next 5 or 10 years. However, if we have somebody who's dedicated to looking at our interests, our Manx interests, and being our voice in the external political arena, then we've got a good chance at coming through that in a positive fashion.
With opportunities.
Absolutely.
There will be opportunities for betterment.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is why I supported Brexit, because I'm a glass half full kind of gal. And I really do see that there will be opportunities once we get rid of the stranglehold that the EU has on us via the UK. Then I believe there'll be opportunities. And we need to look at our economy. And I'm going to trot out those words now, how we can grow our economy. But it is a major issue that we do need to look at. And I believe off the back of the Brexit vote, we need to be on our toes to look at the opportunities and seize those opportunities. So one dedicated person dealing with that would give us that opportunity.
As far as the north of the island is concerned, because Ayr and Michael, this new constituency, basically is the north of the island, do you think they've been left behind by national government?
I do think we get forgotten about. And I think one of the things that people forget about is there's a lot of businesses up there. There's a lot of businessmen who live up there. They may work out of Douglas, but they live up there. They run businesses out of their home. We need the infrastructure to be sound and fit for purpose so we can run with high-speed internet, we can make those connections, we can get the information out there, we can communicate, we can run business up there. I know we say, I'm going all the way up to Ramsey. It's really not that far, and there's no reason why Douglas can't be stretched in the business. We don't want Douglas overheating. We need to spread the business around the island. We need to support Ramsey. We need to make sure there's small business opportunities up there. We need to make sure there's employment opportunities up there. One of the boxes I would like to reopen, I believe this was looked at some time ago, is relocating one of the government departments up there. Because if we can't put our money where our mouth is, as government, how do we expect private businesses to do so? And I think that would be a strong indicator, a strong commitment that shows we take the north of the island seriously and it's not just forgotten about as all the way over there.
But I suppose there are lots of people in the south of the island saying, yes, but what about the south of the island? Presumably
Absolutely.
You would see government buildings devolve.
Well, it's already done so in certain respects anyway, because we have St John's,
yeah.
And we have the Office of Fair Trading down there in Daff. So they're already making that move anyway. As for the south of the island, I'll let the prospective candidates for the south of the island comment on that.
Have you started door knocking?
I have.
Okay, and what's the question?
I've met some really amazing people, really amazing people. And I have to say, lots of puppies as well, which made me smile. The main question is, there's obviously specifics that go on around Ayr and Michael. So we've got things like, obviously, the coastal erosion, that's a biggie, speeding through the villages, some very dangerous roads around there. But a lot of the questions are also linked to national policy. So there's major, major concern at the state of the pensions and the pension deficit that's running at the moment and how the government have handled that. That has probably got to be the number one question that I get asked. Are you going to do something about that, the pension deficit? People are also concerned for the next generation coming along. They realise, many people I've been speaking to realise that they've had it quite good in the past. Whereas they look at the generation coming along and they say, well, how are my children going to afford university? How are they going to afford a house? Why should people have to make the choice between owning a house and having a family? Because that's the reality we're looking at the moment. You have to make these choices. Whereas the previous generations know that they had the best and they want the best for the future generations. They want the best for the island of tomorrow, not just today.
Would that be then more social housing up north?
Well, I believe there's plenty social housing up north, if you will.
So is there now a need for rented properties?
Well, I think the problem is we need to look at how we can help people onto the property ladder themselves. I don't believe that we've moved down the European road just yet of private sector housing being the norm. People still aspire. An Englishman's home is his castle. People still aspire to have their own home and to have that safety and security of their own home. And I think that's something that the government needs to actively continue to support.
We are going to be, when government does get elected on September the 22nd, some of, you put it, the old guard are leaving.
Yes.
New ideas, fresh faces, is that going to be good for government?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. We have the civil servants to maintain the status quo, to let us, to let the new people know what the situation is, to they're there to ask questions, they're the ones that are the consistent force in that. The MHKs who will be elected, they're the ones that need to lead, they need to be strong leaders, they need to see the situation, they need to look at the root causes, they need to look at the problems, and they need to not be frightened to tackle those problems. I hear from the constituents, from the social media, from the radio, I hear of problems after problems after problems. And I listen to this. And the way my degree was in environmental health, so a lot of that is law, but a lot of that is also assessing risk and understanding risk and root causes. And I look at these problems and I think, right, where's the commonality between all this? Because it's no point firefighting at all. We need to look at what is the commonality between all these problems that we have at the moment. And for me, I believe that that is how we do the budgeting. I believe that we need progressive politicians in there who are strong, who want change, who will embrace change. I believe we need a priority budget. So we look at what the situation is, we look at prioritising services, we look at doing the important things well. We make sure we question past spending and we spend within the government's means. We need to know what the true cost is of doing business on the Isle of Man, not just throwing money and firefighting. We need to have a plan. The irony of it is we do have a plan. Every single government department, the government itself has got strategic plans. They sound great. They sound brilliant on paper. But at the moment, that's the only thing they are. The new government needs to make sure the priorities, the strategies that we have are actually real and actually happens. And we need to do that, I believe, by the first thing is priority budgeting. Make sure we get the budgeting right, get rid of the waste, get rid of the Ponzi schemes that we have, get rid of spending money for the sake of it just to make sure you spend it before the end of the financial year. Justify accountability and transparency, and we can do that through budgeting.
Presumably problems then for you are opportunities.
In which sense?
Well, you know, you say that everybody said problems, problems, problems.
Yes.
But it is a chance for the new government to actually stamp its style. It is an opportunity of government to move forward.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. And this is why we need new faces in there. Mm-hmm. We need progressive politicians. We need people who understand the modern world, how the modern world works, and have the vision and the energy to carry that forward, to make the Isle of Man a great place to live, work and play.
And more women?
Well, I'd like to see the best people in there for the job. Okay. And if that happens to be a woman, then all the more to it. As I said at the beginning, this is why I'm standing, because I feel nobody represents my voice. We've had one lady in Tynwald this last session, and I'd like my voice heard. Females are 58% of the population. Let's get a little bit of the balance in there. But hey, let's get the right people in for the right jobs.
As soon as you're in September the 23rd,
yes,
what would be your immediate priority?
My immediate priority would be to talk to the other people that are in there and to get some consensus of opinion as to where we're going and how we're going to take this forward. None of this sitting back and relaxing and taking in the scenery. We need to get in there and we need to grab the reins and we need to move fast, quickly, strongly. We need to carry out the policies that the electorate will have voted us in on. We need to be strong to do that. But there's none of this relaxing straight into it and just taking our time to get to grips with the ropes. We need to get in there, we need to be strong, we need to be focused, we need to work together.
How would you prefer the Chief Minister to be elected?
It's an interesting question, this. There's a lot of discussion about it, and I've done an awful lot of reading about it. Obviously, I've read the Lord Lisvain report, and I think there's some very prudent and very sensible ideas in there. I think that would be the starting point to look at that. How prudent it is to completely turn upside down our constitution and have a publicly elected Chief Minister is a different question, I think. And I don't think we need to rush into making that decision because it changes the whole constitution.
But would that be viable?
I don't know, to be honest. And until I'd looked into that further, because if you think about it, if we had a publicly elected chief minister, that means he'd have a lot of power because he had the vote of the people.
Yeah.
So then you have to look at how the person is chosen, who we put up, and again, the whole constitution of the island would shift. In the short term, what I would like to see is the MHKs are the elected representatives of the people. I believe in the short term, the MHKs should be the ones that choose the chief minister publicly. And I believe that the public should lobby their own MHKs to get their voice heard. And I believe that would be, in the short term, a suitable solution.
Would social media play its part in that, do you think?
Social media does play its part. Social media plays a massive part. I mean, one shouldn't assume that everybody uses social media, as I'm finding out knocking on doors. There is a very vocal population on the Isle of Man that uses social media, and it is a really, really important tool. It's not the be-all and end-all of it, though. There's nothing like eyeballing somebody and getting a feel for them and having a proper conversation. And you find that sometimes something that can be, as we all know too well, you can put something on the Facebook and a couple of sentences can quite easily be taken one way or the other. Whereas if you spend time talking to people and getting, again, right down to those root causes of what they're talking about, you get a better understanding and a better feel for it. So, yes, social media is important, but it's just a part of the jigsaw.
As far as the industry of the Isle of Man is concerned, you mentioned you're in the bakery industry up north there.
Yes.
What about our reliance on finance and, I suppose, more to the point, our reliance on e-gaming at present? Do you think that would be okay, but we must all build other industries?
I think it's over-reliance on any industry, whatever you look at. We're too small a place to be over-reliant on one thing. And this harps back to my risk assessment and looking and assessing the problems. We need to be looking in the corners of the room and seeing what's coming next. We need to be prepared. The UK's just muting a change to the accountancy procedures, which could affect our business over here. Are we prepared? Do we have a plan? And if we have a plan, what is that plan? In order to grow our economy, we need to have absolutely sound government planning in place. We need to have the correct, the right, the stable financial legal framework in place to support the governments on the Isle of Man. We need to have strong employment law. We need to have the right skilled people here. And furthermore, it doesn't matter what industry we're talking about. If you can't get to meetings in the city, if you can't get people to the Isle of Man, we're strangling the whole of the Isle of Man economy. So we've got to get the fundamentals in place to enable that we can allow business to thrive on the Isle of Man. It's not just enough to sit back, and it's also not just enough to look at supporting specific industries. We need to look at the island's whole infrastructure as to how we can support the different industries.
As far as getting people to the Isle of Man, any reforms as far as you're concerned, rather the air and the sea links?
They both need to be looked at in detail. They both need to be looked at with a fresh pair of eyes. With regards to the air links to the island, it's critical. I can't say how critical it is that we can get business visitors in and out of the island and that we can get to meetings. I was talking to someone last week and they were telling me that they had an occasion, it was one of the MHKs, and they had an occasion where they were going to visit the ministers. They'd got a day lined up to visit ministers in the UK and they had to cancel it because the flight was cancelled. That's just a typical example of where we need to have strong air and sea links. We need to secure, it gets very, very complicated because of the Civil Aviation Authority and the rules that they have in place. And, of course, we have our open skies policy. But one way or another, by hook or by crook, the government needs to ensure that we can get into London, Birmingham, Manchester, and that we can have those vitally important business links.
Sea?
The sea, yes.
User agreement?
Now, oh, the user agreement, now there's a big question. Do we have another hour left to talk about that?
No.
Oh, dear. Without going into too much detail, it needs to be looked at seriously. We need to appreciate how that is a major part in the government's cog of keeping the island economy going. And that needs to be forefront in our mind whenever we have any discussions.
This is going to be discussions, because you've mentioned about sort of looking in the room for opportunities if things happen in the UK. This is where you must rely on your civil servants, surely. So you may have to change minds of civil servants.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that?
Well, civil servants are there to operate to the will of Timwald.
I suppose servants is the word, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And hopefully they'll be civil about it as well. The MHKs are there to provide clear, consistent leadership. If we get a new parliament in with new faces, with progressive politicians, then we have the ability to work together to lead the civil service.
Was it your prospectus I was reading, we should not have a lump it and leave it government?
I don't think so, but all it right sounds then. Good to me.
I think everybody would want more openness in government.
Openness and transparency are the two things that are underpinning why I'm doing this and what I'm doing this for. We need to be accountable for the decisions that we make. Again, a priority budget underpins this, because if we have goals, we have targets, we have aims that the budget is given to and works around, then we can revisit and we can say, well, you said you'd do this, you didn't do this. You said you'd do this, you didn't do this. Or you said you'd do this and you've done this really well. The priority budget will underpin and start a process of accountability, improving accountability throughout the government. And transparency, we need to be transparent in all that we do. We need to be open, we need to be honest, and we need to use all the mechanisms out there that are available to us. I personally will make myself available to the people of Eyre and Michael. I'm available through social media, and I will be there to answer questions and to act.
As far as government is concerned, you mentioned this budget again. How far after December the 23 would you hope that we would have a budget? Do you think it is needed?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely needed. I would like to see a commitment straight away to priority budgeting. And listening to a lot of the candidates who've been on previously, I get the feeling that there is support for this. There is a recognition that this is absolutely essential to how we continue. What are we going to do? We don't need the same government ticking away. We've got a general election. We've got an opportunity for change. Let's embrace that.
As far as pensions is concerned, is that not the thing in the corner of the room that's going to cause all the problems?
Well, that's just the thing that's jumping up and down in your face at the moment. There'll be all sorts of things that we don't know about. It's just, that's just today's headlines. I don't know what tomorrow's headlines would be. But I'd like to see that we identify the reasonably foreseeable threats to the Isle of Man and to our economy. But pensions is the immediate one that needs talking about.
But I'm assuming that you will not be part of what you hope is not a knee-jerk government.
It needs to be focused and well thought out, the decisions that we make. With regards to the pension scheme, I would like to see the pension scheme closed. And I would like to see a money purchase scheme in place. When you look into that further, there's obviously details with that, because the pension scheme we have is a Ponzi scheme. So it's funding itself at the moment. We have also issues with the interest rate that we have at the moment. We've just lost another quarter interest rate percent. So that obviously affects the reserves that we had and how we can be fluid with reserves. We've also got issues of how do we continue to encourage teachers and doctors and qualified medical staff to come to the Isle of Man if we've got this pension crisis. The thing is undermining the Isle of Man economy, because one way or another we need stability. We need people to know what they're signing up for. So the pension scheme needs to be resolved, completely resolved, not kicked down the road for another 3 years. We need to resolve it, because 3 years is too much. It gives too much instability. People need to know what they're going to get.
You've got 20 seconds to tell me why Eyre and Michael people should vote for Louise Whiteleg.
If you want honesty, integrity, enthusiasm, and a will to make the Isle of Man the best place to live and work, then please do vote for me.
Louise Whiteleg has been my guest in this hour of the programme, the prospective candidate for Eyre and Michael. Thank you very much indeed.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.